the Internet's only all business and financial radio network, Voice America Business.
Good day. It's time for Abundance Leadership with your host, Linnea Hagen. This exciting hour will set you up to grow your business by helping you to grow yourself. Now, here's your host, Linnea Hagen.
Hello and welcome to the Abundance Leadership Program. This is Linnea Hagen. I'm your host today, and I am very happy and grateful to be here today. I will be joined by a very special guest, Dr. Lance Secretan. And we're going to continue to bring the power and dynamics of advanced leadership skills, what I call abundance leadership, to help you grow your business and grow yourself. Welcome, Lance.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Lance is, for those of you who don't know or maybe aren't as quite as familiar with him as I am, is, for me, one of the most inspiring writers and speakers that there is on the idea of leadership. And he's... He's called one of the world's foremost thinkers and teachers of effective leadership. He has breakthrough ideas about how to become inspired and how to inspire others. And these ideas have led to the transformation of individuals, teams, communities, and organizations. He's an author, an award-winning columnist. He's been a corporate mentor. He's been a CEO. He was the former architect of Manpower Limited. He's been the ambassador to the United Nations Environment Program, and was chairman of the advisory board of the 1997 Special Olympics World Winter Games. His books include The Way of the Tiger, Inspire, What Great Leaders Do, and the latest book is One, The Art of Conscious Leadership. And let's just go ahead and jump into this, Lance. I've been talking with authors and leaders and leadership thinkers and teachers for the last 12 weeks. And from your perspective, how is leadership changing?
Well, you know, it's funny, you might have asked that question perhaps 6 months ago and got one answer, and now perhaps you might find that there's a whole different answer, and that's caused by the environment in which we're in right now. I think the big difference about leadership that's happening is that the authoritarian, directive, autocratic, take-no-prisoners, warrior kind of mentality of leadership, which has been very strong, even though we've been talking against it for a long time, it's still very, very strong and the predominant form of leadership thinking. And we do it at the political level, in countries, we do it and in corporations, we do it in religions, mm-hmm. we do it in just about any field, academic, healthcare, not-for-profits. We think that the carrot and stick system of leadership and the motivational style of leadership is powerful and that fear is a useful weapon and so on. All of that, I think, is changing. We've been talking about it changing for a long time. I think it's mm-hmm. actually changing now. And perhaps the most significant signal that we've seen is the election in the United States, which doesn't have so much to do with politics. I don't mean that it's to do with Democrats or Republicans, but rather it's to do with a signal about what style of leadership are we looking for in the next, say, 4 to 5 years. Obama represents an entirely different style than George W. Bush. And again, I want to emphasize it's not a matter of politics. It's a matter of what you believe you need to do in order to influence and change the world and the lives of others. And we're going to see a change.
So it's really been an evolutionary process that's been kind of accelerated in the last few months because we've gone into a crisis in more than one area.
Yes, I think it's hard for us to actually see it at the moment because I think we're in the eye of the hurricane and it's very hard to actually observe the realities of what are around us because there's so much noise and action and activity that it's hard to sort things out. But I think what's really going to happen is that this has been very cathartic or will be very cathartic for us. It will teach us that what we have been doing did not work as well as we would have liked and that we will need to find a different way. You know, we can't bomb people into submission. it's just not going to work. And we can't intimidate people in the workplace to perform. That's not going to work either. So we'll have to find a more soulful, inspiring, spirit-centered way of doing these things.
Absolutely. Well, you've defined the term higher ground leadership. What is that?
Well, it's a lot of things. It's 14 books.
but can you sum it up into 5 minutes?
Well, it's really about this. I mean, I often joke with people that the bottom line on this is that we need to love each other and tell the truth. And frankly, if we get that and live that, we're about 90% the way there. Technically, I think what it means is that great leadership has to really understand two things, and this is really where my next book is going to go. The two things we have to really understand is, why are we here?
Mm-hmm.
They're just a fundamental bunch of questions around, what is my purpose on this planet?
Right.
It wasn't an accident. I got put down here, and I'm going to have to do something while I'm here. What is that? What's important? What's special? And I need to articulate that, be very clear about it. I need to go deep with that. I need to be very, very strongly centered about that, because that's where inspiring leadership comes from. And the other thing I need to know is, how will I live my life?
Mm-hmm.
And the how I will live my life means, what are the values that are important to me, and how will I live those every day in order to inspire and influence other people? If we can do those two things, that's essentially what higher ground leadership is all about. If we can do them really well, and in particular, and I'll emphasize this 1,000 times before we're done, in a way that inspires other people, then we've got a winning recipe for changing the world and making it better. And we do that principally through the corporate world.
That's one thing that I find particularly inspiring about dealing in the field of leadership, is that there's an opportunity to kind of make a bigger bang because of the model and the effect that these people can have.
Well, there's no institution on the planet with the same power, and we are seeing that, of course. I mean, the collapse of the Catholic Church would not have put the whole of the world into a turmoil, but the collapse of business does.
Yep.
And the creation of an influence in the world would not have been achieved by, shall we say, a new election in France or a new election in England or America even. But it will be, the influence in the world will happen by the collapse of, shall we say, Lehman Brothers and a whole bunch of financial
mm-hmm.
companies.
Well, it just really gets people in the gut where they live.
Right.
Because it alters their entire lives.
Yes.
Not just a belief system. In your writing, you talk about the castle principles. Can we go into those? I think they're really wonderful, and I love that acronym.
Well, the interesting history here is, this touches the question, the two-part question, the second part that I mentioned a moment ago, how will we live our lives? And the answer is by living the castle principles. The castle principles came to us because we asked people, what do you not like about leaders? And they remarkably said, we don't like cowards. We don't like people who are political and play games and are two-faced. We don't like people who are selfish and serve themselves and feather nests and greedy and so on. We don't like people who lie. We don't like people who rule with fear, and we don't like incompetence. So we reasoned, since, by the way, I'll tell you that surveys show that that is the prevailing style for 80% of leaders.
Mm.
So it's a pretty scary place that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And followers are saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want this kind of leader. This is not inspiring to me. So we said, then, why don't we do the opposite? Exactly the opposite. And then the opposite, of course, becomes courageous, authentic, serving others, telling the truth, being loving, and being effective.
Mm-hmm.
That's an acronym for CASEL. And I'll tell you a very interesting story about this. My wife and I were visiting with a friend of ours, Marianne Williamson, who you may know.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And we were at her home having dinner, and I was telling her, this is some years ago, I'm working on this theory, which comes from work we've been doing, research and so on, and it spells CASEL, and it's an acronym for how we should lead our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, just a minute, let me guess what they stand for. C is for courage, A is for authenticity, S is for service, T is for truthfulness, L is for love, and E is for energy. Now, she wasn't right on energy, although that's a pretty good guess, but she was right on every single one of the others. And what's so interesting about that and what it taught me is that this is so intuitive, so natural, mm-hmm. so obvious. It is so much what we want to do if we were left to our best intentions. We want to be courageous. We want to be authentic. We want to serve others. We want to tell the truth. We want to be loving, and we want to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
That's a recipe for life.
So what gets in the way?
Well, it's easier, isn't it, to not be courageous?
It sure is.
It's easier to lie. It's easier to play political games. It's easier to be inauthentic. I mean, in other words, if we just slide into that behavior, then we may as well not exercise, not diet, not eat properly, not see doctors, you know, and do all the things that are easier.
Mm-hmm.
If you want any kind of discipline in your life that leads to something great, then you're going to have to put a little energy into it to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having worked those muscles, then it becomes pretty straightforward. But getting there, if you haven't done it for a while, is quite difficult. Now, we teach clients all over the world how to live these principles, and the first time they do it is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
But when they see the breakthroughs that are made, when, for instance, you tell someone the truth, or when you're courageous, or even when you're loving, as opposed to fear-mongering, then the power of the outcome is so extraordinary, they're inspired to do more of it.
You know, it's really incredible, and I know personally how hard it is because I made a promise to myself and a commitment to have more integrity with myself,
mm-hmm.
and to follow that and create that habit and be really attentive to that, to make sure that what I say I do is absolutely what I will do.
Right.
And it's about honoring others. It's about in your book, you talk about oneness, and that's how I defined abundance leadership, is understanding that we honor ourselves as we need to honor others.
Yeah.
And because we're all connected.
Right.
And when I explain that to people, they get it. But we don't always live it out.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's hard to do. We don't always eat well,
mm-hmm.
and, you know we should, and by and large we do, but sometimes we don't. Sometimes we spoil ourselves and treat each other, or, you know, a slip in some kind of personal treat, you know. Well, that's the same thing as losing a temper, or getting angry with someone, or saying something that's uninspiring. It's easy to do that. That's like having a fast food meal when you know that's not a great idea. And we all do it. But you also know that if you really want to get the best out of someone, then you'll always do it in an inspiring way.
Right.
And any time you slip, it's going to be of no service to either the other person, and therefore not to you either.
So, we're going to take a break here. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Mm-hmm. This is Linnea Hagen speaking with Plant Secretan.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
Do you ever feel stuck or overwhelmed, or feel like you need clarity or support on steps to move you forward? Do you need to get rid of some of the things on your plate? Are you looking for ways to make your business or employees more productive? Linnea Hagen, owner and chief empowerment officer of the Abundance Coaching Companies, is here to help. Linnea specializes in advanced leadership skills, helping clients to realize the power within themselves to be more effective, have better work-life balance, and be more successful. Using various business tools coupled with over 25 years of business experience and training, Linnea helps clients design their highest goals and create strategies and roadmaps to get there. Then she helps them get out of their own way and build their own success muscles to be the leaders they need to be. Visit Linnea Hagen's website at abundancecoaching.net to order CDs or articles. And while there, you can also check out some of Linnea's programs, take advantage of some free resources, or schedule a complimentary call. Linnea's goal is to help you be your best. Again, visit abundancecoaching.net.
stocks, bonds, 401ks, investments, refinancing. We can help you. Call now toll-free, 866-472-5790, 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
You're listening to Abundance Leadership with Linnea Hagen. We would love to hear from you today. Call into the program toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send your questions via email to Linnea at AbundanceCoaching.net. That's Linnea, L-Y-N-N-E-A, at AbundanceCoaching.net. Now back to Abundance Leadership with Linnea Hagen.
Hi, welcome back to Abundance Leadership. This is Linnea Hagen, and we're talking with Dr. Lance Secretan. And Lance, when we took a break, we were talking about how hard it is to live out some of the things that we believe in. I think most people do want to do this and to honor themselves and honor others and believe in the connectedness that we all have and the necessity to do what we've laid out in the prior segment. Which is the hardest piece of the Castle Principles to do?
Well, I think that for a Western mindset, the hardest is to love others.
Mm.
We know that that's right. We know all these things are right. And indeed, we have done them all in our various aspects of our lives. But we have a lot of baggage and hang-ups around the word love.
Mm.
And as soon as you introduce the word love into the business setting, everybody gets squiggly and uneasy and we start rolling our eyes and thinking everybody's coming from California and so on.
Right.
We have to get this embarrassment out of our way, because more than anything else, what people are actually yearning for is to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't... there's nowhere in any of the rule books that it says we're loving human beings from 5 o'clock in the evening till 9 o'clock in the morning, and then from 9 to 5 we turn into some other kind of being where we're not loving anymore and we're fearful and we don't need to be mm-hmm. loved anymore. That's not true. We're human beings from wall to wall. And therefore, when we work with others, they need to be loved too, and they want to be loved, and they don't have a 9 to 5 rule either. And so we need to somehow move past all this history and baggage and get to a place where we can say, I'm comfortable with this, and I love what I do. I love the people I work with. I love why I do what I do. I love the customers that I connect to,
mm-hmm.
and I love what goes on in my life, and I love the world. And when we start getting used to saying that, we become much more inspiring leaders and much more inspiring human beings. And it's the toughest place for us to go. I would say that none of these are that easy, but that one is particularly difficult because of the Western baggage we carry. And I say Western because if you would go to Tibet or to somewhere else in the world, in the Eastern traditions particularly, or even to Africa, there's much more ease with that idea. The whole of Southern Africa, for example, uses the principle called Ubuntu. And Ubuntu means, I am a person because you're a person.
Mm.
And the whole fundamental philosophy of African thinking in the southern countries of Africa is around that idea of lovingness. That's what guided Nelson Mandela. So, there's much more awareness of this elsewhere in the world than we have.
And looking at this list, it looks to me like if by coming from that, all the other Castle principles kind of fall into place, because we love our children, and in being a loving parent, we step up to being courageous. We step up to being authentic, and we're going to be authentic with our kids. We serve them.
Yes.
We try to tell them the truth about themselves, and hopefully as a good parent you're telling them the wonderful things, because they're more effective if they've heard the wonderful things.
That's right. Well, you're very clever to discover that, because the way we call that is the circular logic of the Castle Principles.
Mm.
So, in fact, again, in our Western minds, we separate things and we come up with 6 words. But in reality, there's only one idea, which is about oneness,
mm-hmm.
and the Castle Principles get us there. I mean, in other words, if we live courageously and authentically and so on, then we'll get to the place of oneness. And if we are courageous, then we'll be more authentic, and we'll tell the truth, and we'll serve others, and we'll be loving. If we're more authentic, then that means we're going to have to be more courageous, and so on. So they all fit, and they all depend on each other.
You know, it's interesting that you say love, because when I think about some of the things that have been going on in the world, and in corporations and the financial issues that have come up and challenges, I look and I wonder, where's the courage in the people that are have been seeing what's going on and not calling it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the courage to behave in ways that, you know, frankly, require us to change our thinking and our values. I mean, you know, it takes great courage to admit that I'm wrong, or to ask for forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
or to say I'm sorry, or to tell someone that you love them. We can say to Iran, if we want to, in the old story way, look, do it our way, or we're going to surround you with all kinds of military might, and we'll beat you into submission.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way of doing it. The other way is to sit down and say, we're brothers and sisters on this planet. We share the same place. We're one. Anything that goes wrong at our end is going to affect you, and anything that goes wrong at your end is going to affect us. Let's talk. Let's be sure that we're both members of this world community and that we accommodate each other's different opinions. We have the right to disagree on certain things, but we have to coexist too. So let's discuss that and work it out. Now, we may end up at a place where neither of us end up with the best of what we would both like, but we will both end up without blowing each other up.
Absolutely. And you said something that made me laugh. You said that this sounds like, you know, kind of what you're talking about is kind of a California thing, and I'm in California. But tell people that where the Secretan Institute is.
It's in Canada.
Yep.
Yes, in Ontario.
Uh-huh. And you're Canadian.
Yes.
And you're not a frou-frou kind of guy. You like to be outside.
No.
You know?
Well, I live half the year in Canada, and I live the other half of the year in Colorado, which is where I am now. I live in the winter in Colorado because I am a passionate skier, and I'm 10,000 feet up the mountain. And I bring leaders every year to ski with me on the mountains, and we teach them how to ski double black diamonds in one day. And that is a massive breakthrough for most people. And then we use that as a metaphor to show them that you can actually do the same thing in corporations, the leadership. Radical thinking and leadership, which will transform companies just as quickly.
Talk about that a little bit. How do you teach leadership in the mountain?
Well, you know, when you're standing on a 5,000-foot mountain and you're coming down a steep incline, think about the castle principles. You need to know, you need to be courageous.
That's
you
for
need
sure.
you need to be authentic. Don't blow smoke at me. You know, I need to absolutely know exactly how you're feeling and thinking. We need to serve each other. That's why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
We need to tell the truth. I'm cold. I'm frightened. I'm hungry. I have to go to the bathroom, you know, and so on. We need to be loving. None of this macho stuff, hey, follow me, and then ski up a cliff. You know, that's not helpful. We need to be very loving and caring and nurturing with each other and model that. And finally, we need to be effective, because by the time I get down to the bottom of the mountain, I want you to be a better skier than you were when you started. So we model that on the mountain. And you see, there are some techniques, of course, in skiing for skiing better, but the principal change that comes is from inside.
Wow. That's absolutely true. I don't know if I'd make it down, to tell you the truth.
Oh, yes, you would. Everybody does. Everybody does.
So are you teaching other people to teach your work?
Yes, we are. We've started just very recently, actually, we started a program which we call the Secretan Associates, and we're teaching people worldwide at the moment in a weekly webinar, which is proving to be fantastically successful. I think we're into week 5 now, and it's been just amazing. The technology is now so advanced that we can do some amazing work, and we do it all over the world with people piping in every Wednesday evening. And we're going through till I think it's February, and then we start a new one in March. So we're actually building quite a team. We just finished a certification program in Germany where we have 32 people that are now teaching our work there. So, yeah, it's growing.
Oh, that's incredible. That's something to celebrate, I think, for for me personally that you're doing that, and also for leaders worldwide.
Yes.
I know that a lot of what you talk about is the one dream.
Yes.
And I think this is really important. Why is this important to people that are going through the program, or people that you're impacting?
Well, we teach corporations the general idea. It's funny how simple all this stuff is, but yet how blind we all are. But, you know, everybody has a mission, a vision, and a value statement.
Sure.
And it's excruciatingly boring. And if you think about mission statements, I talked to a client this morning, and I asked them, you know, what is your mission statement? And they said, well, they're in the hospital business. So they said to provide the best possible health care in northern Florida. Well, you know, if I just moved to Ohio, what would be the difference?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, basically just mix and match and change the names, and you've got another mission statement. And that's how they are all over the world, which is why nobody gets inspired by them. So what is it that drives extraordinary organizations to extraordinary performance? It's a dream.
Yeah.
And any great organization, any great team, any great performer has a dream. Think about athletes. Think about film crews. Think about writers. Think about poets. Think about corporations. Think about great educators and teachers. It doesn't matter where you go. People who are extraordinary have a dream. So what we do is we teach organizations how to create their dreams. And when I say their dreams, I mean it has to be radical. It has to be never achieved before. It has to be exhilarating and thrilling. It has to be out of the box. It has to be outrageous. I mean, these are the kinds of things that inspire people and get them coming to work passionately, looking at the future and saying, I come to work every day because I have a dream, and I'm helping to be part of the fulfillment of that dream for the people that I work with. And that dream is what then effectively drives the whole of the organization forward.
So it inspires them as people within the organization to want to be part of it?
Right. What's interesting about it is that all the other sort of mundane theory that we typically teach through consulting and business consulting and academic business schools and so on, much of it drops away because it isn't really important whether you have an empowerment program or if you have some time management program or whatever. We'll do whatever it takes to make the dream happen. And people who are passionate and excited, they'll go looking. If they want an empowerment program, they'll go find one and do that. You know, they'll do whatever they have to do. So we don't actually have to force people into little boxes and have them do, you know, training programs and so on. Those things just don't become necessary anymore. Now, not to say that people don't need coaching and they don't need mentoring and they don't need all kinds of help and support. Of course they do. But, I mean, those things follow the dream. They don't precede the dream.
Well, we're going to be breaking here very soon. I'm going to pick up on this because I want people to see how this fits into the concept of why, be, and do.
Yes, okay.
And the dream, as I understand it, is part of the vision, and it's something that is really outrageous and out of the box that people get really excited and inspired. But there's another concept that pulls all this together and into the whole. So we'll be right back after this break from Lance Secretan.
Sell, buy, sell. All we talk about is money. Talk to an expert. Call now. Toll free 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
Do you ever feel stuck or overwhelmed, or feel like you need clarity or support on steps to move you forward? Do you need to get rid of some of the things on your plate? Are you looking for ways to make your business or employees more productive? Linnea Hagen, owner and chief empowerment officer of the Abundance Coaching Companies, is here to help. Linnea specializes in advanced leadership skills, helping clients to realize the power within themselves to be more effective, have better work-life balance, and be more successful. Using various business tools coupled gold with over 25 years of business experience and training, Linnea helps clients design their highest goals and create strategies and roadmaps to get there. Then she helps them get out of their own way and build their own success muscles to be the leaders they need to be. Visit Linnea Hagen's website at abundancecoaching.net to order CDs or articles. And while there, you can also check out some of Linnea's programs, take advantage of some free resources, or schedule a complimentary call. Linnea's goal is to help you be your best. Again, visit abundancecoaching.net.
Money, money. Up-to-date business and financial news. Money, money. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790. Voice America Business.
You're listening to Abundance Leadership with Linnea Hagen. We would love to hear from you today. Call into the program toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send your questions via email to Linnea at abundancecoaching.net. That's Linnea, L-Y-N-N-E-A, at abundancecoaching.net. Now back to Abundance Leadership with Linnea Hagen.
Hi, this is Linnea Hagen at Abundance Leadership, and we're talking to Dr. Lance Secretan. We're talking about creating a dream and the concepts that go into being really effective leaders in what Lance calls higher ground leaders. And I want to go into a concept that you define as why, be, and do, and how the dream fits into that, and how the this why be do is something that can kind of create a map for effectiveness and abundance and success.
Well, at the beginning of this conversation, I talked about the two needs, which are to define why I'm here, and secondly, how I'm going to live my life. Now, we've been talking about the how I'm going to live my life part, but let's go back to the first part, which is why am I here? Now, if you stand in the presence of a person who has deep and clear awareness of why they're here, you're standing in the presence of an inspiring person. Mm. You can't help it, because that's where inspiration comes from. It comes from a raging fire of passion around executing the purpose of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And the great souls on the planet that you may know or have read about or have heard of or have had personal contact with, those people have that deep awareness, that deep inner understanding. So the three big questions to ask, to answer the question of why I'm here, is, first of all, what is my destiny? Mm. And destiny answers that question. You know, why am I put here? And cause answers the question of, the way I put it, I think, is this. How do I want to be known? You know, if somebody says, well, Linnea, let me describe Linnea for you. Linnea is this kind of person. What is that? What do they say? Do they say she's talented, smart, beautiful, changing the world,
right,
high integrity? What do they say? And then lastly, the calling part is around how are you going to use your gifts and talents to serve others?
Mm.
So why am I here, destiny? How will I be? That is the cause. And what will I do? That's the calling. So we hook those three together, and we call that why be do, is a shorthand. And on our website, actually, if you go to secretan.com/inspire, you'll find hundreds of why be do statements from people from all over the world, you know, how they put their lives together and had a deep, clear inner awareness of who they are. And they're very inspiring to read. They're just extraordinary and very helpful, too, when you're crafting your own, because there's only a certain number of ways that you can actually say how you want to change the world and make it a better place. So a lot of people have done that before us and therefore have, you know, mapped the way in some ways. So if we have that inner awareness of why we're here, how we're going to be, and what we're going to do, and then we have a very deep understanding, too, of how we're going to live our lives, perhaps through the Castle Principles, then we have the beginnings of what it takes to live an inspiring life and to be an inspiring person.
I'm inspired just hearing that. And having gone through the exercise of destiny, cause, and calling, I can testify it is a powerful experience. And it's not something that is done in one sitting. To craft it, for me, was kind of a long time coming. And because we need to self-inspire before we can inspire others, and tap into our own abilities, our own talents, our own gifts, our own uniqueness. Is that's what I'm hearing? Am I right?
Yes, and you know, my work typically takes me into the corporate world, where we might have a room full of 400 people, all of whom are on their hands and knees with a big piece of easel paper, writing why they're here on this planet, how we want to be while we're here, and what we're going to do. And I can tell you, it is the most inspiring thing you can imagine. We sometimes hang these big pieces of paper around the room that we're in. It's typically a big ballroom or something. You just don't need an airplane to go home.
Wow. The mental picture that gives me is pretty incredible.
It is. And these are all people who know each other and work with each other. And when you see, and you're walking around saying, wow, I didn't know Joanne was wanting to change the world this way. I didn't know that Fred had this passion and this gift. You know, I've had people, for example, say, you know, they're in the research department in a library, and they say, my calling is to be a world-class pianist.
Mm.
Well, then what are you doing here? And I've got that person up on the stage, you know, got the crew to bring in a piano during the lunch break so there's a piano on the stage afterwards. I said, okay, Leo, sit down and play the piano for us. And he, like, rock and roll, you know, brings the joint down. And then we say to, you know, the 400 people, what's this man supposed to be doing with his life? Pretty obvious what he's supposed to be doing.
Absolutely.
You know, in that moment, we're changing his life. I wrote a blog about that about a year ago, because that very story actually happened to me.
And wasn't there also a case of the company moving a piano into the lobby?
Oh, yes. That's another client where there was a woman whose calling was also to play the piano, but she was the head of accounts receivable. And so the CEO arranged for piano to be moved into the atrium of the hospital, and provided her with piano lessons and supported her and said, come and play our piano for us every lunchtime, and we'll support you in every way, financially and with time off and so on, that you need. And so as a consequence, she was able to meet her calling and do her accounts receivable work.
That's a great story.
This is how you inspire people.
Oh, that's just a great story. So you've worked with a lot of different companies, I know, all over the world. What kind of companies have you worked with and do you work with, and can you give some specific results that you've achieved?
Well, we work with 30 of Fortune's most admired companies. We've helped 6 of Fortune's best companies to work for get on that list, so we're very instrumental in helping companies be pretty extraordinary. The average results when we work with companies is that we double their profits and we cut their staff turnover by 50%. That's the average result.
Wow.
So, you know, it's pretty breathtaking, and financially it's absolutely staggering. So we're able to achieve some pretty amazing results. And it's consistent, and it makes, you know, no surprise to you, I'm sure, to hear that.
Right.
Because essentially what we're saying is, people who weren't inspired now are, therefore they don't leave the company, they don't quit, they don't work at half speed, they start to become really passionate, the company has a dream. I mean, everything starts cranking up in terms of turning up the volume and being an inspiring place.
That's absolutely amazing. And, of course, just by taking care of the people and cutting the turnover in half is something that can affect the profits tremendously right there.
Right.
You know, it's amazing to me. I guess it's just a surprise, and I don't know why it should be, but a lot of things surprise me, that more leaders just don't see this.
Yes, I know. I know. Well, how can you explain this? I mean, that's what I said earlier, that it's dramatic to me. On the other hand, you see there is resistance. I mean, it's pretty obvious when we say, look, people that love each other at work are going to do better work. You know, it's simple as that. People who hate each other at work and are frightened of each other aren't going to be as effective.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's no brain power needed to understand that. Okay, now we have to translate that into action. So I need you to change your entire life value system and belief system and start to become a loving person. That's not so easy. So why don't we do it? Well, I get it, and I know you need to do it, but don't ask me to do it.
Right.
And that's where we get stuck. So that's why people say, no, I just can't do that. That isn't going to work for me. And they stay exactly stuck where they were.
It's the opposite of love. It's fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it goes back to something that I brought up, I think, in the first program of the series, and that we don't have a business life and a personal life. We have a life.
Yes. Well, you know, let me just give you a very simple example of this.
Oh, I'm going to have an example right after the break.
Okay.
This is Linnea Hagen talking to Lance Secretan, Abundance Leadership.
From the stock market floor to your laptop, we are Voice America Business.
Why is Pepsi cooler than Coke? Why are iPods so popular? In 2005, how can you launch a successful brand? Want to know? Learn about the fascinating and intriguing world of graphic design and branding on Design Matters with Debbie Millman. Every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time, Debbie Millman will provide you with a provocative look into the stimulating world of design as it intersects with contemporary culture. Hear what the experts have to say about creating, maintaining, and launching a brand in today's challenging marketplace. Join us every Friday at 12 Pacific Standard Time for Design Matters with Debbie Millman, right here on The Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
Do you ever feel stuck or overwhelmed or feel like you need clarity or support on steps to move you forward? Do you need to get rid of some of the things on your plate? Are you looking for ways to make your business or employees more productive? Linnea Hagen, owner and chief empowerment officer of the Abundance Coaching Companies, is here to help. Linnea specializes in advanced leadership skills, helping clients to realize the power within themselves to be more effective, have better work-life balance, and be more successful. Using various business tools coupled with over 25 years of business experience and training, Linnea helps clients design their highest goals and create strategies and roadmaps to get there. Then she helps them get out of their own way and build their own success muscles to be the leaders they need to be. Visit Linnea Hagen's website at abundancecoaching.net to order CDs or articles. And while there, you can also check out some of Linnea's programs, take advantage of some free resources, or schedule a complimentary call. Linnea's goal is to help you be your best. Again, visit abundancecoaching.net.
All we talk about is money. Call us toll-free, 866-472-5790, and talk to the experts. We talk money all the time. Voice America Business.
You're listening to Abundance Leadership with Linnea Hagen. We would love to hear from you today. Call into the program toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send your questions via email to Linnea at abundancecoaching.net. That's Linnea, L-Y-N-N-E-A, at abundancecoaching.net. Now back to Abundance Leadership with Linnea Hagen.
Welcome back. This is Abundance Leadership, and I'm talking to Lance Secretan. Before our break, you were talking about an example that we don't have a business life and a personal life. We have a life.
Well, yeah, and it's also the example of what's obvious. The example I was going to use was the wireless phone companies.
Mm.
Now, every one of the wireless phone companies, AT&T, you know, Singular, Verizon, Sprint, all of them, U.S. Cellular, and so on, they all have these terrible, complicated, unfriendly contracts with all kinds of requirements, small print. You get tangled up in all kinds of requirements. It's a nightmare for everybody. Nobody can figure this out. Nobody has the time or the patience to read all the small print. It's just awful. Now, what makes us think this works? Mm-hmm. I mean, why is it that all these companies use this system? Wouldn't it make a whole lot more sense to say, look, we're going to provide you with a service, and we trust you and respect you, and we want to serve you. Hello, this is a novel idea. And we're going to sell no contracts, no commitments. You shop here and buy what you want. If you want this many minutes, buy them. If you want an all-inclusive package, buy it. We can make whatever you need fit your needs. And we want you to be inspired all the time through doing business with us, and we want you to love doing business with us because we are so easy to do business with. Wouldn't that make a whole lot of sense? And tell me, how much business would that company get compared to all the others?
I love it. I can hear the passion in your voice. This is something that has hit you pretty hard.
And just one example of how stupid we are and how we keep following the old system and why we don't change.
Absolutely.
And we could repeat that in the airline business. We could repeat that in the car business. We can repeat it all over the place.
Well, you know, and it's what I mentioned before about it's fear. It's a fear that maybe they'll lose a customer to a competition.
Yes.
So we've got to lock people in.
Right.
What inspires you?
Well, what inspires me is the fantastic results that happen in people's lives, which then get translated into corporate performance, which in turn translates into changing of the world. Mm. You know, if we change four or five big corporations, let's say my old employer, Manpower, and let's say Walmart, and let's say a couple of other companies, Mitsubishi perhaps, and Siemens. You know, these would be four companies around the world that between them probably employ about 5 million or 5 to 10 million people, and who touch the lives of everyone on the planet bar about 500,000. Therefore, if we change those four companies, we change the world.
Wow. It's really the pebble in the lake, isn't it?
Yes, but it's a big lake, so it touches everybody. It's not some little backwater.
Mm-hmm. Can you comment for me, what do you say to the notion that motivation is dead?
Well, motivation is based on fear. So motivation is about creating an incentive or a bribe or a bonus or something that causes behavior in other people to change, and therefore it's a motivation that's based on fear. Whereas inspiration, which is almost entirely different and about which we know very little, that's an inner thing, and it's not something you do to somebody like you do motivation. It's something that comes from within, and it's about love. You know, we're inspired because we love something. We either are inspired because I love you and I want to serve you and please you, or I'm inspired to ski because I love skiing and I'm passionate about it. In other words, inspiration has as its source love. And whenever we have a mentor or a coach or a teacher in our lives, that's someone who inspired us, served us, loved us. So it's like an entirely different idea. We've had motivators in our lives too, but they're different kinds of people, and they have different messages and methodologies. So the issue is not that one's good and one's bad. The issue is that we don't know the difference between one and the other. We talk about, I want to be motivated and inspired, and in reality, it's quite a different thing. We need to selectively choose, when do we want to motivate someone, and alternatively, when do we want to inspire someone? And they come at different times for different situations.
Well, and motivation is an external thing. Is this true? And the inspiration
Correct.
Is kind of breathing in. It's an internal oneness.
Yes, but I could, of course, inspire you, or I could motivate you. And I would do different things to achieve those different ends.
So you say that there's still a place for motivation.
Oh, yes, of course. If this building catches fire, I want to motivate you to get out of it.
Well, we're in different buildings, so I guess it's...
Well, either way, if I heard it was catching fire, I'd want to motivate you to leave now.
There was a quote that I read by Stephen M. R. Covey that says that there is a global renaissance in trust. Do you believe that? Do you see it? And how does that fit with inspiration oneness?
I think that's an aspiration more than a reality. I don't think there's a lot of evidence to say that that's happening right now. I think that's pipe smoking, frankly. I mean, if you just look around Wall Street, the economy, the example I just gave of the wireless companies, politics, the 100-plus wars that there are around the world right now, I don't see a lot of evidence of trust. I think that's kind of smoking stuff, you know. I do see, though, a growing awareness of the value of trust and the aspiration that we should become or get into a better place. Remember, trust is not something we do to someone. It's something we earn. And in time, because of our behavior, people start to trust us. And, you know, what we're doing in Iraq or Afghanistan or in Darfur, what we're doing in Wall Street, these are not behaviors that garner trust. You know, that the political campaign between McCain and Obama was not something that generated trust in most people, nor in each other. So, no, I don't think that's a very sanguine statement. I think that we could work towards it, but I don't think we're there.
Mm. So what's next for you?
Well, I'm writing a new book, and we have never had so much interest in our work, I think, as we are now. We've been at this for 25 years. So I think we've come to a place where there is a growing need amongst leaders for different tools. I mean, the toolbox that just pulled out all the tools in the box, they've tried every one of them, and the box is empty. The box is empty, and they're calling us and saying, help. I got an empty toolbox. I've tried everything, and I don't know what it is that I need to do now. I need something. Clearly, the tools I've been using are not the ones I need right now. So, have you got any tools? And that's where we're at with the conversations with our clients. It's very, very exciting. We've got some amazing things happening.
Well, they're kind of trying to work with hardware tools in a software world, you know.
Yeah.
And we're talking about the human software.
Yes.
And that's just not something that's going to be very effective. So that's a great analogy. We have just a couple of minutes here. Is there a story that you'd like to quickly share with us before we wrap up?
Well, I'll tell you a story about Joe Calabruzzo, who's the CEO of Mount Carmel in Columbus, Ohio, and he has a cause, which is it's a hospital, and his cause is to honor every soul with loving service. That's what his cause is. Now, he walks around the supermarket one weekend, and he's got a jacket on that says honoring every soul with loving service on the back of it, and a woman comes up to him and says, do you work for Mount Carmel? And he says, yes. And she said, I've heard all about you. I've heard about your cause. I've read about it in the paper. The whole of Columbus, Ohio is buzzing about you and your cause. I work for Ohio State University. I'm a nurse, and I'd like to come and work for you. Can I arrange an application, an employment, an opportunity to talk to somebody about that? Sure, he says. And then she says, I've got two friends who work for Ohio State, too, and they'd like to come and talk to you as well. And Joe says, fine, we'd love to talk to you. Now, what you have to know here is that it costs $50,000 to hire a nurse. So he just made $150,000.
Wow.
That's because he had a cause. So you see, the cause is not just a pretty thing. It is a powerful financial device as well as being a pretty and elegant and beautiful thing. And it actually makes money for the company because people are inspired by it and want to be associated with inspiring things and people.
That's powerful. That's terrific. Thank you. Looks like we have a couple of minutes left. We have one more question that I'd like to ask you. Who was your greatest teacher?
My greatest teacher was the boss from hell. I've had some great teachers who are positive people, but one of the things that happened to me in my early 20s was I had a really awful boss who was absolutely one of the worst leaders and one of the worst human beings I've ever had to work with. And at the age of 27, I was asked to run Manpower Limited, which was kind of outrageous because I was just a kid. And here I was running an entire business, and I had no idea what I was doing. Mm-hmm. So from day one, what I knew was I will never, ever lead like the leader who's been leading me. So everything I'm going to do, I'm going to be checking in against that kind of barometer and saying, is this the opposite? Because if it is, it's probably going to work.
That's what
I did. I pretty well did everything else. And much of the theories that I've developed over the last 40 years or so have been based on the idea that, as I explained in the Castle Principles, if you're doing something that's not working and it's stupid, try the opposite. Might be a great idea.
Thank you so much. And therein lies the truth that in some of the worst moments are the greatest gifts.
Right.
I've loved having you on my show. Like I told you at the break, it was my intention that I set when I put together this programming. and was to wrap up the 13-week series with Lance Secretan. So thank you so much.
Well, it's been great to be with you, and I've enjoyed our time together. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And this is Linnea Hagen at Abundance Leadership. Grow your business, grow yourself. Thanks so much for joining me today and for the last 13 weeks. Be well.
Thanks for joining us for this week's edition of Abundance Leadership with Linnea Hagen. We'd love to talk again next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time and noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Network. Now, grow your business and grow yourself.